didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. Do not fear when he is near, take hold of his strong hand, listen closely to his words, he is. Feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm, he's the eye of the storm.
Amen. We've done that song many, many times, but I'm glad to know that he's still the eye of the storm. Amen. And it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's go to him in a word of prayer, and we'll come back and do a congregation song in just a few moments. Brother Larry, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer this morning? Amen. 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 We're going to change things up a little bit this morning because we have two offerings. In a few moments, we'll take up our regular tithes and offerings, and then we'll come back around at the as soon as the choir comes down, and we'll have our Christmas offering. Can you believe that? We're going to take up the Christmas offering this morning. It seems like time has really flown by, doesn't it? But we are so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to see you here. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. If you're visiting with us and you want to come become a member of us, we'd be glad to have you. We may talk about that a little bit more before we go home today. Amen. But it is great to see you. Turn with me to page 139. Page 139. Let's all stand together. Church, stand. Join the choir as we sing this morning at Calvary. Sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. I have a couple of announcements. I want to make sure that I get all of those. Of course, we want to praise the Lord this morning. In case you haven't already heard, most have, I'm sure, but Lily came home yesterday. The surgery was a success. The doctor was very pleased with the way everything went. She had some nausea and some things going on right after the surgery, but they've been able to take care of all those. She has passed all of her physical therapy that she had to pass to be able to get home, which I'm very familiar with. But she is at home and taking some physical therapy there. And the doctor has them on a 24-hour light call, so they're checking in with them. And they've got her medication regulated to where they can get ahead of the pain. And we're thankful for that. She's gone through some of that. But they said they were praising the Lord for how good God had been. They said, please tell the church thank you. And what a strength it is to have a church that's praying. And I know that they appreciate that. So please continue to pray. They won't be here with us today, of course. But pray for Justin. I know his heart as a pastor, and he would love to be right here. But I know his heart as a father, and he needs to be right there. And we all understand that. So please be much in prayer for Lily and for the family. They haven't gotten much rest over the past days, I'm sure, so pray the Lord give them some much-needed rest. Also, we didn't do a meal train, so Lee Ellen said, please remind the church. I think she's down in the nursery, if I'm not mistaken, this morning. But please remind the church that if you want to give a gift card, that would be very helpful, and they'd be very much appreciated. If you want to give a gift card for Pastor and the family, I know that they would really appreciate that. They're trying to kind of limiting the guest, and it's just easier to do the gift card thing nowadays, it seems. So if you want to do that, you can see Lee Ellen again. She's down in the nursery, or you can give it to me, and I'll make sure that she gets it this morning. And you can do that for next few services. Again, I know that would be greatly appreciated. Also, we have someone that's sharing with us today, and he's here, and we're very thankful for it. And he's got a birthday today. He's very special to me and to all of us, but I don't know if we can get that up on the board. There it is! Yeah. 16. The big 16th birthday. Boy, I would say I remember that, but I don't. But he's doing what he
loves best right there. And that's our little drummer boy. And he's come a long way. He started off here many years ago. What a blessing that he has been to us. I know he is to you and to your family. And we love him. And that's my grandson. And buddy, we love you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. So if you want to give him anything, you get it. Give it to me. I'll make sure he gets it. You know, I forget things too. So sorry for your luck, pal. But it is great to have him with us. He's usually traveling, but they've taken a little bit of time off, and we're taking advantage of it, and we're very thankful for it. And it was great to have the whole crew with us, other than the choir. They're traveling today. The children's home's traveling. But we are thankful to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I know that there are probably more announcements. Amanda, you have one that I'd like for you to share for me.
Brother Harold just had a special prayer request. His granddaughter, Anna Kate, had to go to the Mayo Clinic. She has some autoimmune stuff going on and sores in her mouth, and they're just trying to get a handle on that, so he just asked special prayer for her. Her name is Anna Kate.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Anything else that I might be missing? Okay, go ahead. Again, please remember that in a little while we'll have the Christmas offering. Did everyone receive these in the mail?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Great. If you didn't and you want an envelope this morning, I have a few here. We have some in the back, but in a few moments we'll take up a Christmas offering this morning. We'll do it this evening, and then we'll also do it next Sunday. So, and then also next Sunday will be communion service. Pastor wanted me to let you know that, so we're excited about that. That's always a very special service. And a very special time. Let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Ask his blessing on the offering as well as the service. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us this morning?
Father, we're grateful for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace toward us. Yet you give us a good day in your house today. I ask you to be with them, Father. I ask you to strengthen them, encourage them.
Please pray for us this morning. I'm going to try and do this song. I don't know if I'll do it justice or not. I've never sang it before, but I believe it is a message that we need to hear this morning. And you'll find out in a little bit in the message why I just can't get away from this song. And I pray that's a blessing to you. I'll never be able to do it like Brother Snyder did it, but you listen as we try our best to sing "The Anchor Holds."
Thank you.
I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea. By faith alone and sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me, and the anchor. Could slip right through like they were only grains of sand, and the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Now I have been young and I'm older now. There has been beauty these eyes have seen, but it was in the night I fought the storms of my life, and that's where God, listen, church, He proved His love for me. And the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen. let the anchor hold in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face a raging sea, let the anchor guys, if you want to just come down and bring the plates and lay them down here, we'll let everyone come and bring their Christmas offering to the Lord this morning. I believe that's a very special time. You can just place one on one side, one on the other, and we'd really appreciate it. Amen. Thank you. Again, this is the Christmas offering. It has nothing to do with your tithes and your morning offering. It'll be the Christmas offering. We'll do it again this evening, and then we'll do it again next Sunday to give everyone an opportunity. Listen as Amanda sings our Christmas song this morning.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang the lowly shepherd. Three wise men seeking truth.
They if you want to come and bring your offering to the Lord this morning, feel free to do so. Just place it into
play. Hoping to find the child from heaven and falling on their knees, they bow before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
They've been bringing offerings to him for over 2,000 years. Can you imagine what it must have been on that first offering as they came to see the King, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, wise men, shepherds abiding in the field, came and brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came and they brought all that they had. Many have come and brought their gifts to the Lord this morning. And it's an offering for Him and just for Him. I want to bring to you a thought this morning. I'll try my best not to hold you very long. Anytime a preacher ever says that, everybody always goes, "Oh me, here we go again." But truthfully, this morning, I just have a few thoughts that I want to leave with you. You've heard the songs this morning. We talked about the storm, the eye of the storm. And then we pulled out the old song, "The Anchor Holds." But I want to talk to you this morning with this thought in mind. The anchor still holds. The anchor still holds. If you have your Bibles with me and you want to turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter number 27, I'm only going to look at one verse there. Acts chapter 27, and in a few moments I'll look at verse number 29. Look at there on the screen. But I do like to listen and hear the rustling of the pages this morning. But we are thankful for the screen, and that's great, and we appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Randy. He's got his plate full, and he means a lot to me. We've been together for a long time, and I think he passed out back there somewhere. And Brother, I love you. I appreciate all that you do, and I know that the church does. In the book of Acts, chapter number 27, again, we're going to talk about the anchor still holds. In the book of Hebrews, don't turn there, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse number 19, it says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." I'm glad that we have an anchor this morning for the soul. But I want to talk to you with the fact in mind that the anchor still holds. Lord, we love you. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have. And Lord, you know my heart. I don't take it lightly today for the opportunity that's been given to me, and I am so thankful for it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help me this morning, that I just might bring a few words that would be an encouragement to the church. Lord, maybe cause someone to realize that they stand in need of Jesus as their Savior. Lord, that when we leave this place, we'll be able to say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, what I would ask most of all is that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you. Help us to know that there is an anchor, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would just see, help us to see him high and lifted up this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd get glory out of the service. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished and what already has been accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse number 29, now, Paul and a crew of sailors, in my mind this morning, I wish we had, could have built a big boat ship up here and had some anchors and a bunch of seamen all dressed. And I tried to get one of those rain ponchos, and I was going to put it on CJ and let him be one of the crewmen this morning, but he's thankful they didn't have any at Kroger. But in my mind's eye, and I want you to try and just get a little glimpse of what it must have been like. I mean, Paul and a crew of sailors found themselves in this chapter in the middle of the sea in a terrible storm. It was such a bad storm that, as far as I know, it was the first time that they actually named the storm. Because in verse 14 it says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, and they called it." I'll never get this right, but it looks as if though it might have said something like Euryclidon. So it might have been the very first hurricane. I don't know. But they named the storm. And then I thought it down in verse number 16. It says, "And running under a certain island, which is called..." I thought for a second that said Claudia. But it just said, it says Clauda. "We had much work to come by the boat." And in verse number 29, it says, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast..." How many anchors?
Four
anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They threw out four anchors at the stern of the ship, and they were praying for the day. I think they were probably saying something like, "Lord, help." Four anchors. And that's what I want to give you this morning. And you're saying, "Oh boy, couldn't we just have two anchors?" Well, the Bible said four, so you're just going to have to hang in there. All right? But we'll go quick. I'll teach and preach fast, and you listen fast. "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they dropped four anchors." There are four things and four anchors that will sustain you through the storms of life. I've said this a lot of times. You've heard it a lot of times. You're either coming out of a storm, in a storm, or unfortunately headed to a storm. All of us are, have been, or will be. And you think about that, and you realize sometimes just how fierce the storm can be. The first anchor I want to give you this morning is that there is an anchor of purpose. An anchor of purpose. The wind was blowing and tossing this boat all around. Have you ever been out on the sea and the wind start to blow and the boat start to rock and to reel? I've been on some deep sea fishing trips and I thought, somebody gonna need to get us back to land. But you know what? They ain't going back. They staying out there till they get done. You might as well just hold on. We went on a deep sea fishing trip years ago. And one of the guys that was with us, he made a lot of money, had a lot of money. His name was Marty. And I'll never forget it. He got out there and he got seasick. Anybody ever been seasick? There is no other sickness like seasick. And he got over there and he went and found the captain. Captain's up there in his little place where, you know, he's under the shelter and out of the storm, out of everything. And he went up there to him and he said, "Hey, Captain," he said, "we're going to need to turn this boat around. Whatever it costs us, I'll pay it." He said, "What you're going to need to do, pal, is get you a bucket." He gave him a bucket, like one of them Home Depot buckets, and a towel. He said, "Go sit down over there, put your head in the bucket and the towel over your head, because we don't want to see it nor hear it." He said, "No, sir, what you don't understand is I have the money." He said, "What you don't understand is I don't have the time, and we're not going back. These people paid to fish. You can go and have a seat." He said, "How much would it cost to get a helicopter out here?" He was serious about it. He said, "I'm going to tell you one more time, and then I'm going to throw you overboard. Can you swim?" He said, "Never mind. Where's that bucket?" So sometimes the storm can be fierce. But Paul said, we have purpose. And God will get us through this. Your purpose does not change in the storm. The storms still come. What's the Bible say? It rains on the just and the unjust alike, right? So the storms come to those that have a lot of money. And the storms come to those of us that have no money. But the storms still come, don't they? I was reading on my Facebook this morning. I checked into it and was just looking, and a friend of mine from work, her dad he's close to death. And she said, "I'm having a hard time, but I know." She said, I don't advertise a lot on Facebook, but I really need your prayers. And here's what she said. Now, her dad is close to death. She said, "I know there is a purpose for what we're going through. So all I can do is just praise the Lord and ask you for prayer." That's a hard time. We've all gone through it. We've had loved ones that have left this walk of life. And we look back and we say, what in the world could the purpose be for all of this? Honestly, I thought I was going to not make it when I found out that my dad had lung cancer and he had a mass on his lung. And the doctor said, "We've got this many amounts of months." My dad was 57. I was 30-something. And I remember, I think I was 32 years old, and I remember going out at work, and I'd find myself, I had a company vehicle, I'd find myself over in the park. They had a lake out there, and I was just watching the rippling of the waters go by. And I said, "Lord, what in the world could be the purpose of you taking my daddy at 57 years old? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But I'm honest with you, as well as I'm standing here this morning. I found in that time a peace that passes all understanding, because I realized that there was a purpose for it. What I didn't know was that I was also going to lose my mother at 57 years old to lung cancer. She was my rock. She was my world. Man, I loved that woman. And she loved her baby boy. I was the only one. Now you know why I'm so spoiled. But she loved me like no other. And she cared for me. I remember nights that she'd fall on her knees in prayer for me, because I haven't always made the greatest decisions. You hear me? Who said that? But we all make decisions, right? They're not always the greatest decisions. And sometimes that's what causes us and why we find ourselves in a storm. But there is a reason and a purpose for everything. Amen? God has a purpose for you being here this morning. Several weeks ago, we were in our Sunday school class, and CJ and I, sometimes we tag team that thing. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. I'll give him 15 minutes. He'll give me 15 minutes. We'll do 15 minutes prayer requests, and we're done. You remember those days of Jubilee when we would go up to the Gospel Jubilee, Smoky Mountain Jubilee, and they'd tell Brother Snyder, "You got 15 minutes, and you're finished." Come on now. We know that's not... Oh, but yes, it happened in those days. He'd go out there, and I'm talking about pour his heart out for 15 minutes. You see, he had a purpose. And we all do. And God, but anyway, I said all that to say this. A few weeks ago in our Sunday school class, I asked the question, it was my 15 minutes. I said, "Are you the person?" Hear me. Y'all wait. Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you. "Are you the person that God wants you to be?" Boy, that was a question to ponder, wasn't it? Are you the person that God wants you to be? First of all, are you a Christian? Have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? That was the first thing I asked. And then I said, are you fulfilling the purpose that God has in your life if you are a born-again Christian? He's left us here for a reason and for a purpose. He said, "Go ye into all the highways and the hedges and compel those to come to Christ." That's what our purpose is. Are you doing what God would have you to do? So the first anchor is the anchor of purpose. Anchor number two. The second anchor is this. You need, in the storms of your life, and we talked about that this morning in Sunday school, What you need in the storms of your life is a good church home. Hey, some of us, even though we can't hardly stand up, all ought to be on our feet at one time, thanking God that we got a good church home. I'll never forget, we came in here on the first Sunday night that we ever visited this church, 20-something years ago. 20-something years. I don't even look 20-something years old, do I? And we sat back there on that back row, Terry and I, and we were visiting for the first time because we had heard this fellow. We went into a revival. We were singing in a group, I think, at that time, and we run into a revival service over at Victory Baptist Church in Austell. And the evangelist that night was a person, a reverend by the name of the Reverend Snyder Turner. And we started looking and searching and thought, we got to find out where that fella is. Because I'm telling you, he came that night and he, again, he poured it out. And we sat back there on that back row. And I'm telling you, when that choir stood to sing, I looked around to see where the angels' wings was. I'm talking about singing. They were singing, Brother Harold, with a purpose. And they were singing with a joy. And there's been times, I know we're not supposed to go back and look at the way things used to be, but you got to let me just reminisce for a minute. There was times when we would have this many chairs and wonder where we was going to put the next few that decided to want to come and join the choir. And when they would stand up and hit that first note, me and Terry were sitting back here on the back, and there were some things that were so important to us. We wanted to find a church, number one, to where the Word of God was going to be preached. And we love music so much that we wanted to find somewhere that we would have people that would want to stand and sing for the honor and the glory of God. And then we had four kids, and we wanted to find somewhere to where we knew that they would be taught. And we talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Our kids and your kids, some of them, sat in that first little classroom on the right when Miss Marcia would say, CJ said this morning, what they remembered was, choices have consequences. But I'm telling you that it was so important to us that we would find us a church home. And we said, you know what? This here feels like home. We came on a Wednesday night and sitting right there on that row, I believe. We said, Brother Snyder, would it be out of line if we joined the church tonight on a Wednesday night? And here we are. Y'all hadn't run us off, and we ain't quit yet. But we need to find us a good church home. I'll tell you why some of that stuff's so important as we get through the anchor. The second anchor is a good church home. A lot of folks run from the church when they are going through a storm because sometimes that's embarrassing for the storm that we might be going through. And we're afraid. We won't say it, but we're afraid what people might think about us. Anybody in the building say that? We're afraid sometimes of what people might think about us. Sometimes it's embarrassing for what we're going through. Maybe sometimes it's embarrassing for what our family's going through, or maybe what one of our kids have done, and we get embarrassed and we say, you know what? Probably be best we just draw away from the church for a little while. Sometimes we don't come to church because we have situations. Maybe our marriage is just in shambles. It's a wreck. Our marriage is on the rocks. And people won't come to church because of that. Hey, that's the time when we need to be running to the church. Amen? Sometimes it's because we're dealing with some kind of an addiction and we're afraid and we're ashamed. But again, that's the time when we need to be coming and running to the church because I don't know about you, but I have come to find out through 20-something years, I need you. I need you. I have looked back over some of it over the past couple of days, and I thought, I remember when we were going through difficult times. I remember when our brother-in-law, Gary, passed away and went home to be with the Lord. He stood up here in this very, in this sanctuary, in this very pulpit, and he preached one sermon. One sermon. but I'll never forget it. We've got it on tape. And we go back sometimes and we think about that and we listen to those ideas and thoughts that he had. The only time, Brother Jeff, that he would have an opportunity to stand and tell the good news of God. You ought to go back and listen to what he had to say sometime. But I'm telling you that we need one another. I'll never forget. I'm trying my best to hurry. I'll never forget. We were over at Brother Gary's mom and daddy's house when Brother Gary had left and he'd gone home to be with the Lord, and we were all gathered in the house. And we looked outside that glass screen door, and coming down that little driveway, we looked out there and here come Brother Snyder. Here he come, and he would just come, and I mean, every one of us have stories like this. Every one of us. I'll never forget when my mother passed away, and we were in the middle of the living room right there. We had a hospital bed in there, and I remember that we had called the family, and they said, it's not going to be much longer. We had hospice care, and they had taken such great care of her, and they said, if you want to get someone here, it's not going to be much longer. And we called Amanda, and she come screaming over, flying over to the house, and I remember her walking in, and I was on one side of the bed, and Amanda was on the other side, and Brother Snyder, he come, and he slipped in right next to me, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He read the 23rd Psalm. There was a quietness and a calmness in that room that day, in my living room where I'd grown up. And I reached and I grabbed hold of Mama's hand, and I said, someday when I've traveled my last mile here, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea. That's what we're talking about this morning. I said, he'll hold my hand. And as sure as I'm standing here this morning, she let go of my hand and she grabbed hold of his hand. She had suffered and gasped for breath for days. She left that and breathed in the first crystal clear of heavenly air that morning, Selah. I found out then some of the reasons that we need a good church home. People came and they brought food. Some of y'all brought some food, and I'm thinking, man, that's some good stuff. I can tell you who that was, and you can bring it over to the house this week. You still need to stay in practice. But everybody came and gathered around. It's what we need. We need the anchor of a great church home. Brother Johnny was talking about when Brother Marty, their son, had to have physical therapy. And I remember when me and Gary would go over there and we would exercise his arms and exercise his legs and his fingers and his toes. I don't know how much he enjoyed us exercising and popping them toes, Brother Johnny. But there was something to be said about that. That's what a people do when they have a great church home. Amen. Anchor number three. We're moving on. I'm doing pretty good. It's only 7 minutes to one. don't go. I'm only kidding. We haven't set the clock back. The third anchor is this, that you need to drop in a difficult time. When the storm is raging, you need to take and drop in the anchor of courage. So, we said that we need the anchor of purpose. We need the anchor of a good church home. And third, we need the anchor of courage. Courage is being afraid and doing it anyhow. That's courage. You ever afraid of anything? Oh, we all sit around here and say, I ain't afraid of nothing. Praise the Lord. I got the tiger by the tail. Yeah, right. And in that lonely hour, when you sit and you start thinking about all the stuff that you're going through, you realize that you need some courage. Courage. It's when you're going through a hard time, being afraid, but you do it anyway. Courage is finishing the race even when you're in last place. Years ago, you might recall this, years ago there was an Olympic runner. He had fallen down and injured his leg in the middle of the race. He was hours behind the rest of the runners, but he finished the race anyway. When he was interviewed, he was asked, "Why didn't you just give up?" He replied this in his language. I like to do this. I can't tell the difference between Asian and Spanish, so listen. He probably said it something like this: "My nation did not send me over here to give up." In all seriousness, he said, "They sent me here to run the race, and I finished it." Courage is the determination to keep on, keeping on, even when the odds are stacked against you. Courage is refusing to let any kind of diagnosis, whatever it might be, or any kind of bad news to steal your joy. Courage is what keeps you going during the hard times. Anybody in this building ever experienced any hard times? Got to have the courage, and you have it, and that's why you're here this morning, is because you got to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. The last thing is this: the last anchor you need to drop during the hard times is focus. I remember when we would try and talk to our kids when they were little, we would say, "Look at me. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to focus." Sometimes in the walk of life, we just need to learn how to focus. Don't lose sight of the storm, but don't lose focus on where you're going. We can't let the winds and the rain or the hardship and the disappointments cloud our vision. It happens sometimes. The reason most people do not reach their dreams or their goals that God's given them is not the lack of talent. It's not the lack of education. It's not the lack of experience or even resources. It is because, I'm afraid, sometimes we just lose focus. It's the enemy's goal today to distract us. And if we're easily distracted. I mean, if I said something this morning about the Georgia game, everybody that's a Georgia fan stand up and say, "Go Dogs," right? Yeah, see, that's right. Now, last week we had Georgia and Tech. Was that last week, last weekend? And that starts splitting families and everything. You know what I'm saying? So I won't say too much about that. But that's right. Thank you. But sometimes we just lose focus. It is the enemy's goal to distract us from God's plan for our life. Losers, you know that, losers, focus on what they are going through. Think of that. Losers focus on what they are going through. And we sit around what I call the mully grubs, feeling sorry for ourselves because of what we're going through. But champions We're the champions of God. Amen? We are the champions. Champions focus on what they're going to do about what they're going through. Hebrews 12 and 2. I want to read that to you right quick. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, where's a great start? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was focusing on where he was going instead of what he was going through. That's how we overcome a storm. We need to learn how to focus. So I would say this morning, hey, grab on to your anchor and throw her out. Grab on to a plank. You might have to swim a while, so hang on. But know this, the anchor still holds. Would you stand with me this morning? The anchor still holds. You may be here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you're looking at me like, all this, Brother Allen, all this is kind of strange to me because I don't really understand what all you're talking about. Maybe you need to set your anchor this morning with Jesus. You've never accepted him as your Savior. It would be a great time. There's people here this morning that will pray with you. They'll come and show you from the Word of God how you too can be born into the family of God. And then when you're born into the family of God, we'll try and encourage you to find you a good church family to latch on with. Maybe this morning you're discouraged. And you say, you know what? One of those points really hit home with me, and I just need to come and lay it all at the feet of Jesus, and you can do that. Father, we love you. We praise you, and we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to share your word this morning. Lord, how it speaks to us, and Lord, how we come to realize that we are all going to go through storms, but we're glad this morning that we can too say that the anchor still holds. Lord, we thank you so much for that. If there's someone here this morning that just needs to bring their burden to the Lord and leave it here, Lord, I pray, Lord, we'll sing a verse, and I pray that they'll come and they'll walk on the first verse, and Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as I am. You need to come this morning. Yeah. Aren't you thankful of that? Listen to the second verse. He's the potter. Thank you. that song this morning. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't throw me away. Amen. Again, it's so good to see you here today. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your prayers. And we'll be back this afternoon with me, choir, at 4 o'clock. I'm not sure if the children's home will be back with us, but I'll see you here today at 4. Pray for me for the service for tonight. And if Brother Justin was here, he would say, is all hearts and minds clear? Thank you, Trail. We couldn't do it without you, pal. All right. Well, if you'll turn around, shake hands with somebody, tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. I'll see you back. Choir at 4, church at 5. God bless you all.